Two wills, one choice.
I'd like to begin in a very familiar passage in the 26th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll begin reading with verse 39. Two wills, one choice. Matthew 26, verse 49. Actually, verse 39, I'm sorry. So Jesus, to give just a little preface, this is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had taken some of his disciples with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And in verse 38, Jesus said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Because understand that Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew what his lot was going to be. He knew that was the plan and the will of God. And he was struggling with that in the flesh. Just because we are saved this morning and because we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have been so blessed, it does not remove some of the inner struggles that we have in life. Here we have a scene of Christ himself, the Son of God who did no sin, was exceeding sorrowful. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came and found his disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we have here Christ himself in Gethsemane, and there were two wills. And some might take exception to that. Because, see, Christ was perfect, was he not? And yet Jesus was in the flesh. He was all God. And that's the mystery of the hypostatic union. That he was all God and yet he was all humanity. He was all flesh. And so here we have Jesus knowing he was going to die. And his prayer was, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Because in the flesh, there was a desire for something different than what God's perfect will was. And that's what I'm calling one of these wills. The will of the flesh. It's the draw of the flesh. It's the desire of the flesh. And Jesus was saying, "Lord, Father, if it's possible, I don't feel like suffering in the flesh. I don't want to go through this in the flesh." And yet, Christ had his mind made up. His heart was fixed, which enabled him to pray more than just, "Father, let this pass from me." He said, "Let this cup pass from me if it's possible. But nevertheless, Father," that's the flesh, and I recognize that's the flesh, "but not as I will," or "not as I will in the flesh, but as thou wilt." Do you realize that this was a reflection of the will of Christ, was to be reconciled and one with the will of the Father? When we are in the flesh, we are going to have temptations. Now, last week, we brought a message about the influences. Recognize the influences that you're under. The influence of the flesh. The influence of the world. And then the influence of the Holy Spirit that is working and drawing us and leading us and guiding us. But once we recognize those influences, what are we going to do with them? We have to make decisions, don't we? We cannot both choose the will of the flesh and the will of the Spirit being God's will. We can't choose both. And we have two wills present, but we can only yield to one of them. We can only yield to one. So when in Luke 22, I like the way that it's phrased in the recording of Luke, Jesus said, "If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Now, to read that properly, we have to understand everything else Jesus taught us. Jesus was not saying that he did not want to die for our sins, but he was speaking about the will of the flesh. Not my will in my humanity, but Lord, in my spirit and who I am as a son of God, I am willing to do whatever you want, Father. And that should be our prayer and desire this morning. It's okay to recognize the flesh this morning. Some people try to act, and I'm going to preach where we live. Some people try to act so spiritual that they act like they're never tempted. Some people try to act like they're on such a spiritual plane that they're not influenced or have anything of the flesh that's different from the will of God. But do you realize to have two wills and one choice is not a reflection of unspirituality? It's a reflection of how God created us. It's a reflection of our humanity that I'm in the flesh and there are desires of the flesh. And then you get the devil involved and the power of the world involved. And there is a draw, and we call that temptation. Temptation is not sin. Some people struggle feeling like I've done wrong because I'm being tempted. Temptation comes because we're human. And Christ himself was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been called temptation. So what about us? We are tempted. But if we want victory, and the reality is we can have victory this morning. That's the good news. We can have victory that when our flesh wants one thing, you can personalize it however you will. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Two wills. Flesh wants one thing. You know the will of God, something else. You have a decision to make. Am I going to yield to the flesh or am I going to yield to the Lord? And when you have been saved and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a power within that will enable you to say yes to the will of God. That's your will. That's my desire. But you realize that my heart and my desires changed when I got saved. It changed. I'm not going down the same road I used to go down. I'm not living the way I used to live because my heart now and my desire is to please God. Yes, the flesh is still present. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can subdue the authority of the flesh and give God authority and say yes to Him. So not my will, Lord. So it's all right in your prayers to say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. Lord, I've got a temptation here, but I recognize the influence of, I recognize it's the flesh. I recognize it's the world. I recognize it's drawing. But Lord, I don't want to do that. I want your will to be accomplished. That's my desire. That's my heart. And that's what will enable us to live a victorious Christian life. Not my will, but thy will be done. But you have a choice to make. And then Jesus went, and he saw his disciples, and what were they doing? They were sleeping. And Christ's response was, watch and pray. Do you think we need to watch and pray this morning? I'm so spiritual, I almost don't even need to pray. I mean, I'm above temptation. I'm so spiritual. I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? My point. Jesus told us, don't get lazy. You need to be watchful. You need to pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. Temptation is going to be there. Young folks, don't be discouraged because there's temptation there. But you don't have to enter that door. You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to give in to it. Because the authority of the flesh has been unseated through the power of Jesus Christ this morning. One time the flesh had authority in our life. I couldn't help it. But now through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the authority over the power of the flesh. We have authority over temptation, but we still have a choice to make. We still have to choose to submit ourselves. Spirit-led will is going to be a surrendered will. A spirit-led will is going. And so when he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you ever found that when you battle something and you overcome it, it shapes the advice you give to others? You ever notice that? Because you've been through it. If you will allow me, and I don't want to get too far afield. We have to be careful about this. I speak this by permission and not by commandment. How's that? I can't help but think that this is what was on Christ's mind when he went and saw his disciples. He had just come out of a battle. He had just come out of a place. He was in agony. The battle was strong. And his prayer was, and this is not extrapolating, his prayer was, Lord, if it be possible, let it pass from me. The pull to withdraw from the cross is strong, but I recognize it's a temptation. Lord, I want to do your will. And so, Lord, I need help. I need your strength. So then, this is on his mind. This is on his heart. Christ had found, he knew that our humanity in the flesh was weak. And I can't help but think that that shaped his response to the disciples in with consideration of the battle he was coming out of. He goes and finds him asleep. And I can just see Jesus still thinking about the battle of the flesh. And he was not just talking about their sleeping, but he was giving us a truth. And the truth is, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you all here, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you the question. How many of you all here are willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ? What do you think about that? Are you willing to die for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to give your life? Do you believe this enough that if someone came in, and this has happened, I think about stories I heard that came out of Russia many years ago. But I think about when there were some that came in and they had their guns out and they said, renounce Christ. And people, one by one, started renouncing. I'll just tell you the story. They renounced Christ, the story I heard many years ago. And they told them, they said, they put out a picture of Jesus. I'm not a real big fan of pictures of Jesus. But they took a picture of Jesus and they had everyone come in and spit on it. And they said, if you don't spit on this, we're gonna shoot you. And there were those that came up and spit on it. And then one little girl came up with tears in her eyes and took her dress and wiped off that picture. And it touched the heart of those soldiers. And they turned, and if the story is accurate, and I haven't verified the veracity of it, they turned and they shot everyone that had spit on that picture. But my question is, are you willing to die for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to stand up if your life was in danger this morning and said, if you don't renounce Christ, we're going to kill you? Would you be willing to die for this? I really would like a show of hands, but... But here's the next question then. If you're willing to die for this, are you willing to live for this? Because there are people that are willing to die for causes. There are people that will give their bodies to be burned. There are people that are giving all of their goods in sacrifice for a cause. And yet the scripture says, if it's not motivated by love, it profits you nothing. I think about Peter, who in the flesh, soon after this, he had been sleeping, and now the soldiers come, and what does Peter pull out? He pulls out a sword. I am ready to die for this.
And Jesus said, put your sword up. And yet, just a few hours later, the same Peter who was willing to die for the cause of Christ was not willing to live for him. And he denied that I even know who this man Jesus is. It's not all about the dying. It's as much or more about the living today. And there is a pull on the flesh. There's two wills, but there's one choice. We have the power this morning, even with the weakness of our flesh, we have the power to yield to what the Lord teaches us and what the Spirit of God gives us. And that's why we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you would be endued with power. Why do I need power? Because my flesh is weak. And I need a power within me to enable me to say no to Michael and no to the world and no to the devil, but also the power to say yes to the will of God. And then that then becomes a reflection of our will, does it not? Yes, I recognize the flesh, but my will and my desire and my purpose is to do the will of the Father. And that's where we find spiritual victory. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is very important. And again, I'm not picking on you young folks, but I want you to get hold of this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not override our will. All right? The Holy Spirit does not, because I know sometimes people think if I can be forgiven of my sin and be filled with the Spirit, I won't have any more struggles, I won't have any more temptations, I won't have any more bad, I can just, and I wrote this down in my notes later on, I'm going to say it now. There is no spiritual autopilot. There is no salvation Tesla, so to speak, that you can just push the button, take your hands off, and let it go. God has given us a will. He has given us the power of choice, that you have the power to choose. So when the flesh is pulling on one hand in temptation, and you know the will of God on the other, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we still have to make a decision. Am I going to yield to the flesh? Or am I going to yield to the Spirit? You have that choice this morning. God has not taken that out of us. With the work of redemption, we are still free moral agents. And that is even when we look at the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, even before, and this gets into theology that a lot of people get mixed up. They say when we get saved, it restores us to an Eden experience. No, it doesn't. It restores us and reconciles us with God. But Adam and Eve, when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there has been something in mankind that their inclination ever since then has been towards the things of the flesh, towards sinful things. And it takes the redemptive work of Christ to forgive us and enable us that now my tendency is not to the sin. My tendency is to the things of God. But I still have to choose Him on a daily basis. I still have to choose Him. There was something in Eve, and this is where it's important to understand. There is something within Eve, even before the fall, that made her give in to temptation. Y'all thought about that? Because something happened to the nature of mankind when they sinned. That's scriptural. That sin entered the world. And ever since then, you don't ever have to teach someone how to be bad. That comes natural. But we need a Savior to redeem us. And yet, there was something in it. It was her humanity. That's what it was. And after we've been saved, we still have our humanity. We still have the power to choose this morning. Am I going to give in to the flesh? Or am I going to yield to the Spirit? But now, through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit, we do not have to give in to the flesh anymore. There is power to say no to the moral sins that separate us from God. In the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8, And we will read beginning with verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. He said, for what the law could not do. Well, before that, it's all good. Thank God. There is therefore now, verse 1. There's no stopping place here now. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. I am in the flesh, but I'm not walking after it anymore. To those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the redemptive work of Jesus, through the blood and the infilling of the Spirit, it hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. Folks, we are not under the Mosaic law anymore today. The law was weak. The law could not change men's hearts. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Because, see, people had a desire to do it. I'm going to try to please God. And yet they kept falling back into sin. And that's why we needed a Savior. He said, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then here's a key verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That word mind in the Greek, it means to be disposed to in a certain direction. Those that are in the flesh are disposed towards, okay? To that direction. They have that inclination. I'm minding the things of the flesh. That's where I lean. But he said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, there's an earthly mind and there's a spiritual mind. There's two, in other words, this is those two wills. There's two influences. But there's one decision that has to be made. Before the Spirit of God, we were predisposed to the flesh. I'll say that again. Before the redemptive work of the blood and the Spirit, we were predisposed to the things of the flesh. Couldn't overcome it by ourselves. And that's what that represents, the agony that Paul was feeling, rather, when he was like, I wanted to do good, but I couldn't do it. There have been those that have misapplied that scripture as living under grace. That is a misapplication of that scripture. Paul was speaking before the redemptive plan of God took place. I wanted to do good, but I kept finding myself doing wrong. And then there were things I didn't want to do, and what did I find? I found myself kept doing them. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Before the Spirit, we were predisposed to the flesh. But after we have the Spirit of God within us, we are predisposed to the Spirit of God. We are still flesh and blood. We still have to make a decision. We are still tempted. But now, from deep within us, from the presence of God, I want to please God. And when the flesh raises its ugly head in temptation, I have a decision to make. And this is how people that are saved and one time knew the Lord can fall away from their salvation. Because they quit yielding to the Spirit of the Lord. They quit yielding. There are people that most probably all of us know that one time had a good walk with God, and today they are far from God. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit did not ever take their will or their power of choice away. So within a saved experience, and after we fill with the Holy Spirit, we have an inclination to the things of God, but we still have a choice. So then Jesus is telling us this morning, Watch and pray. Be watchful. Recognize that the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. So then, in Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25, and this is one that is, again, often misunderstood when taken out of context. Unanimity of Scripture. You can tell what I've been studying on, right? Unanimity of Scripture means all the Scripture works together. So when the Scripture says, they that are Christ, this is from Galatians 5, 24 and 25, they that are Christ have crucified what? The flesh. With the affections and lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So it's like, okay, so if I can get filled with the Spirit, I won't have to deal with the flesh anymore. Is that what that means? But it says crucify. We have to understand this in context of other passages. What this means is when we choose Christ and we can overcome sin, the flesh has been crucified and the lust and the affections and lust, because they don't have control of us anymore. They are present, but not in authority. See, that's what temptation is. We are in the flesh, but they don't have authority anymore. They've been crucified. They were on the throne of authority. The adulterer committed adultery. The liar continued to lie. The drunkard continued to drink. And yet, when we have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, yes, there may be a temptation, adultery, tell a lie. But we look at that, it's been crucified. It lost its authority in my life. It no longer controls me. Lord, give me power to do not what the will wants, but what you want. And now we choose that good will of God. We have power that we're not committing adultery anymore. We're not stealing anymore. We're not lying anymore. We are walking after the Spirit. So to crucify the flesh means, yes, to put to death, but even on a deeper level, not to misinterpret it, it means that it has lost its control and its authority. Because the thinking, the logical thinking is that, well, once you crucify something, it's dead and it doesn't exist anymore, right? But then why are we even tempted if we've crucified the flesh? And that causes confusion for people because they don't understand what the import of the Scripture is. It's been crucified and put to death. It no longer has power. It no longer has authority. It no longer has control. And I think Paul illustrates it well, because he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I keep under what? My body. I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. Why do we have to bring our bodies under subjection? Because there's two wills, because I'm still in the flesh. But the flesh does not have to control, because it's been crucified. It's lost its authority. But I still, with my choice, have to yield to the Lord and submit to Him. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Subjection in the Greek means to enslave. So the question for us this morning is, who's in authority? Who's controlling? Is your flesh under the authority of the Spirit, or is the Spirit under the authority of the flesh? Paul was saying, I submit. I bring my body under subjection. I enslave the flesh so that it works for me and I'm not working for the flesh. Make sense? I trust we understand this morning, because this is where people get on so many doctrinal levels, and then it comes down to practical living. Don't be discouraged when you're tempted, but there's power to overcome it. But you have to be watchful, and you must still choose. Bring your body under subjection. Today's another day. I don't want to get lazy. Lord, help me to be watchful. Help me to be prayerful, that I can keep the Spirit of God and His will alive and working in my life. And this is what Paul again addresses in Romans 6 as we bring this to a conclusion this morning. In the 6th chapter of Romans, in the 13th verse, Paul said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And that's what I want to encourage us this morning to do. Yield yourself to God. See, that's the choice now. I'm saved. We have the Holy Spirit now. But I'm still in the flesh. But we've crucified it. It's lost its authority. It's lost its throne. But the influence is still going to be there. But now, this through we can pray as Christ. That Father, not my will, not the will of the flesh, but I want your will to be done. You have the power to choose. And you can only choose one. You can't choose the will of God and the sinful influences of the flesh. You can choose one. And that takes place not just to one trip at the altar. It takes place on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute, that Lord, I choose you. So I want to encourage you to yield to God this morning. Yield to the Lord. You have choice, but the good thing is there's power to overcome it. So we stand this morning as Jesus stood in Gethsemane between two wills. There's the will of the flesh, and there's the will of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not remove our choice, but He gives us the power to make the right one. He empowers us to choose the will of God, and He gives us the strength to follow through on that decision. I am very thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I know we have been on this subject for a number of weeks, for the most part, but we need it to live victorious. You have choice. What are you going to do with your choice this morning? It's up to you. But don't be discouraged. It's not about self-determination. You have a choice, though, that you can yield to the Spirit, and the flesh no longer has to control your life. You can serve the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that wonderful good news of the deliverance and daily power that we can have as we daily say yes to the will of God in our life.